one of my friends that I love and trust sent me a note that he doesn't believe that we should have fentanyl strips. He also doesn't believe that there should be facilities where you can get clean needles and shoot up. I support both. I think it saved lives. I think the fentanyl strips would save lives. I think providing clean needles in a safe place for addicts, I think it gets a lot of them into rehab and saves lives. I'm about saving lives. And this notion that you take away the temptation, you take away the risk of death, I would argue that we all screw up. We all make mistakes. And I would argue that my friend who sent me that note, that the fentanyl strips make it easier to use drugs. I would argue that he should talk to the parents of the West Point cadets who overdosed when they tried cocaine and thought it was when there was fentanyl in it, and they all overdosed. I would argue that we could all make that mistake, that our kids can make that mistake. God forbid. Dr. Tom Brophy, the best of the best, addiction specialist, ER specialist, joining me live. Doc, good morning.
Good morning, Marty. How are you?
This notion that fentanyl strips should remain illegal kind of makes me sick. Jump in here, please, sir.
Yeah, I mean, fentanyl test strips, I mean, what people really need to understand is that the fentanyl test strips are really designed to prevent, like, accidental overdose deaths. Most addicts that are struggling with heroin use, they're already well aware that we don't really see much heroin anymore, that it's mostly fentanyl. And that's because fentanyl is cheap and synthetic, and you can make it in a lab, and you don't have to, you know, process the plant from a tropical region and smuggle it in and all those headaches. But the problem is that because it's synthetic and because it's so cheap, it has now found its way into so many other street drugs. And it happens on a daily basis. You know, we see people coming in for treatment and they're 100% sure that, you know, what they're buying on the streets is Percocet or Roxicet or oxycodone or Opana.
Or cocaine. Or cocaine.
Yes, or cocaine, exactly right. And then we have the products tested and you know, that sometimes they're mortified to find out that there's actually fentanyl in it. But particularly when we're talking about, like, high school and college kids, like, we know that experimentation is common. We know that some of these kids, you know, are starting off with, like, Adderall and Ritalin, and then they see, like, a white powder that's called cocaine, and they think, like, okay, well, not that big of a deal. I've tried stimulants before. But if there is fentanyl in that powder, which we are finding more and more and more, that could be a fatal decision that child makes. And, you know, I think that it's easy to sit on a moral high horse and say, like, well, they just shouldn't do drugs, you know, but has anybody out there not made mistakes?
Thank you.
You know, that they learned from? I mean, we're all human. We all make mistakes. And it shouldn't be something that costs someone their life, you know, when they make a mistake like that.
Hey, Doc, I've been there. And by the way, I sat with my daughters and said, you're going to get to a party at some point in Mount Lebanon, in the bubble, mm-hmm. as they call it. You're going to mm-hmm. see white powder on a table. And everyone would say, try this. You could try it and die right there. Could they not, if there's fentanyl?
That's it. It happens all the time. And you know, that's the point of talking about some of these cases, like the West Point cadets.
That's right.
We just had a case in Southside a couple years ago, if you remember that.
That's right.
And you know, they had all gone to, like, a rave-type party and thought, you know, they were just dabbling and you know, like a little bump of cocaine, and they all overdosed, you know, because of the fentanyl. And we also know, you know, that people, that there are a lot of people who are quick to judge and you know, like, want you know, punishment and tough love, you know, but what they don't realize is that those things have actually been studied from a scientific perspective, and we know that those programs don't work. Like, punishment-based programs do not work. Mm. We're dealing with a brain disease that is being driven by some very ancient parts of the brain that normally drive people towards food, water, sex, and shelter. So if you've ever gone to the grocery store hungry, you make very different decisions
right.
than when you go to the grocery store on a full stomach. So imagine making a decision of whether or not to drink a cup of water when you haven't had water for 3 or 4 days. You may tell someone whatever they want to hear, but the first opportunity you get to get some of that water in your body, you're going to take it. And that is very similar to how the pleasure-reward pathway is operating in a dysfunctional manner in the disease of addiction.
Hey, Doc, you're the best out there. Tell our folks the name of the facility where you specialized in saving lives and getting folks treatment.
Thank you, sir. I'm currently the medical director of the Geyser Center, which is an inpatient and outpatient treatment facility up in Butler, PA. And I encourage anybody who needs help, give us a call.
My brother, thank you. Appreciate the truth,
sir.
Thank
you, sir. Absolutely.
My man tells the truth. If you can't handle the truth, that's your problem. Look, I get it all. I get it all. And that's fine. Man, I remember back in the day when we were in high school, one of my boys, his parents used to have a bunch of alcohol. And we would steal it. And we would drink it. There's a synagogue across the street from Central Catholic. And we would drink it in the synagogue parking lot. Then we would go across the street to the Central Catholic dances to get our courage up to ask girls to dance, quite frankly. And we would replace the alcohol with water. The big lie. No one thought we were drinking. The big lie. Several of those guys ended up with DUIs. Several of them that we used to steal that booze with ended up in alcohol treatment. What's my point? My point is we all make bad choices. I did. I was an idiot. Thank God my mom stalked me, hunted me down, banged on doors. I'm not kidding. My mother grabbed me by the hair in the middle of the street and saved my life more times than you can ever imagine. My father intervened in my ridiculous behavior and saved my life. My point is, back in that day, you're taking a drink, you're throwing up, maybe you move on. Today, my kids could be at a party and there could be lines on a table and someone could giggle and say, hey, it's only cocaine. And there could be fentanyl in there. And there could be no fentanyl strips in the place. And they could be dead in 60 seconds. Dead. Dead. No return. No second chance. Just flat out dead. And I can't tolerate the ignorance that people have suggesting that take away the fentanyl strips. It just makes them tempted to try drugs. No. Tell that to the parents whose lives would have been saved by a simple strip that costs a buck and is illegal to buy in Pennsylvania today.